this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to please stand now for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel for this day comes from Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, in this world we sometimes struggle to know what is wise and what is foolish. Lord, help us to look to you, to your word, to your cross, to trust in you above all things. Pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. It's much easier to look back in life and see what was or wasn't a good decision. But life is lived forward, and it's a lot harder to see what's coming and what really is going to be wisdom in a particular situation. We like to be wise. We don't want to look foolish, and so we pursue sort of the insight and help from all sorts of people. So we turn to weathermen to help us forecast the weather. Well, saying in Texas was that nobody but a fool or a newcomer would try to predict the weather in Texas. I'm learning that's equally true about Kansas. We look to stock market analysts to help us figure out what the stock market is going to do, only I'm learning that they have a success rate that makes the weather forecasters look good. We turn to all sorts of people, all sorts of places for advice, looking for something to give us wisdom, to guide us in life. But sometimes it's hard to tell. Well, the Bible has its own form of wisdom. The Bible has guidance for our lives, but sometimes it's hard for us to see and to know and to understand that as wisdom. It's this issue of trust, of trusting God's word and the wisdom that it provides that we want to focus on today. So let's return to our Corinthian congregation. We began talking about them last week. This is this congregation that's stuck in the midst of conflict over a whole bunch of issues. They're disagreeing upon what's right and what's good and what's wise, and they've broken off into all of these factions. Paul comes into the midst of that and tries to pull them together. And in the midst of that conflict, Paul points the Corinthians to the foolishness of the cross. He writes this at the beginning of today's reading, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It might look like foolishness at first, but to the Corinthians and to us, it really is the highest form of wisdom. It is the power of God working for us. It is this cross, this foolishness of the cross, that has the power to bring them together, to reconcile their differences, and to help them move forward as the people of God. But Paul writes this in verse 22-23, "For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles." Another translation says it's an offense to Jews and it's nonsense to the Greeks. That's the way they receive this message of the cross. For the Jews, part of Scripture says that anyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. And so to say that Jesus, the Messiah, was the Messiah and he was also hung on a tree on the cross, it's offensive. This is cursed by God, not raised up by God. The Jews were fiercely monotheistic, surrounded by cultures that were polytheistic. To them, one of the hallmarks of their faith was expressed in the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet here Jesus comes, and he says that he is God. He is the Father's Son. Contradicts this idea of God being one. It was the highest insult, the highest form of blasphemy that Jesus might call himself the Son of God. Totally offensive to them. For the Greeks, the Greek philosophers had developed a whole system of how they thought God worked and God functioned, and for God to be powerful and the Creator and to be so above everything else, he had to be totally untouchable by his creation. To think that that God could come down and take on flesh and live on earth and be affected by people, by part of his creation, it just made no sense to them. It would not fit inside their frame of reference. It was nonsense. Well, to some today, they see the cross as nonsense. Think about that, all the ways that people today hear the message of our faith and think about it as nonsense. To believe in a creator when it seems like science can explain away so many of the things that we thought we needed a God to explain. To think that the Bible could be accurately passed down from generation to generation to generation and not be twisted and distorted over time seems like nonsense. To think that those words, even if they are accurately representing what was written thousands of years ago, is actually the inspired word of God sounds like nonsense to people. And to think that this faith would be so important that it would cause us to live differently. It would cause us to get up on a Sunday morning and gather here when we could be doing lots of other things. To think that it would encourage us to give of our own money for something else. To think that it would cause us to live in different ways and to give up all of those immediate gratification pleasures that are all around us for the sake of something higher. To many people, that just seems like nonsense. Some, though, see the cross not just as nonsense, but as offensive. I mean, if you want to live a certain way, well, that's fine for you, but to say that your morality applies to everyone, that's offensive. To say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father apart from him, people see that as offensive. To say that you can't just slap a coexist bumper sticker on the back of your car and hope that all religions lead to the same place in the end, a lot of people see that as offensive. And I bring this up not to attack and to criticize those people, but for us to reflect on the ways that when we hear those reactions from people, that we sometimes begin to doubt in the truth of God's Word. We hear that, we begin to be a little bit afraid, a little bit nervous about our faith and what we believe. And so we keep quiet because we're afraid that philosophy professor is going to embarrass us. We don't share our views and how we live and how we act because we're afraid that people are going to call us judgmental and be offended by us and reject us. We begin to doubt the truth of God's Word. We struggle with trust. It's the issue, the foolishness of the cross. Can we trust God and His Word? Well, it's only by faith that we can see the cross as God's wisdom. Paul writes this a little later in our text. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are being called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, I told you last week that the book of 1 Corinthians is not my favorite book of the Bible. But that last verse is probably my favorite verse in all of 1 Corinthians. The weakness of God is still stronger than man's strength, and the foolishness of God is still wiser than man's wisdom. I love that verse because it's a verse with a double meaning. And it means that on one hand that God at his weakest and most powerless is still stronger than the greatest strength of people. And God at his most foolish, if there is such a thing, is still smarter than the best ideas that we can dream up. It's kind of like saying God has more strength in his little pinky than we do in all of our power combined. There's that sort of sense of that's how much bigger and more powerful and wiser and smarter God is than we are. But the second way of hearing that verse, the second meaning of that verse, is even more powerful. Because that weakness of God, that foolishness of God, has a very specific name. It's Jesus Christ suffering and dying on the cross. How foolish and weak is that? The Lord of all creation, who has created everything, would allow his Son to come down on earth to live and to be put to death by his creation, by the very people he came to save. How foolish and weak is that? And yet in that very moment of weakness and foolishness, as the ground was shaking and the demons were celebrating his death, in that moment was the greatest moment of God's triumph in this world, as he defeated Satan and death and the power of sin in our lives. Sounds like foolishness, but it brings us life. And yet this foolish plan of God sending his Son Jesus to die for us, still sometimes we struggle to make sense of. It's hard to make sense of why Christ should have to come down, should have to take on flesh, should have to die for us, until we first begin to understand our need for Christ. Until we first begin to understand our sin, our brokenness. We talk, as Lutherans, a lot about law and gospel. This is the way God's Word works in our lives. And the purpose of the law is to come and to reveal our sin to us. And whether it's God's law written in His Word in the Bible, or whether it is His law written into the fabric of creation, this is the way the world works. The law comes and it confronts us with how we fall short of the standard of perfection. It confronts us with how we are weak and failing and the mistakes we make. It holds up a mirror and causes us to look at ourselves and look past all of the justifications and rationalizations we put up to defend ourselves and come face to face with the fact that we are not perfect. We do some terrible things. And deep down, when we're honest with ourselves, we realize that. And the law's purpose is to help us recognize the places in which we have fallen short and we can't make it. But then when we realize that desperation, when we realize that we are not perfect, we can't fix ourselves, and we give up on all of our attempts to make it on our own, then comes this beautiful good news of the gospel. We couldn't be perfect. We deserved death and punishment for our sins. Jesus came to take that punishment for himself. We and our sin had separated ourselves from God, and so God sends his Son into the world to be with us and to reconcile us to him and to provide a way for us to come back into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. This is the wisdom of the cross. It only comes to us as we recognize our sin, recognize our need for the gospel. Wisdom and foolishness together as one. God reveals that foolishness of the cross that we might know him, that we might love him, that we might trust him. But God also, his foolishness is also revealed in us for the sake of others. Let's think about our Corinthian congregation again. Paul writes this for them in the midst of their conflict. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." These Corinthians didn't have a whole lot to be proud of. And there were a few in the congregation who were wealthy, but most of the Christians in the early church came from the poor, came from the lower classes of society. They had nothing about them to boast in and be proud of. It wasn't as if they were in the church because they were something special. They were in the church because of God's love, because of His grace, because of the power of God working for them. This was the peace that brought them together. God chose the foolish things and the weak things to shame the wise and the powerful things that we might do, to point out to people our need for His grace. And so the Corinthians, in the midst of their brokenness and their conflict and their foolishness, become a sign and an embodiment of God's love for His people. God's foolishness is revealed in them for others. God's foolishness is revealed in you and me as well, that others might see His love expressed to us and in us and through us, that they might come to know and understand God's love for them. There's nothing in us for us to boast about. We are saved by grace through faith apart from works. We're only included in the church because of what God has done for us. And so if we begin to present ourselves as if we've got it figured out, we're the good Christians who know how to live a good life, you should begin to live and act like us. If we're pointing to ourselves and boasting in ourselves, then we're taking pride and strength in our own strength rather than pointing to Jesus. When we get into arguments to try to persuade people that we are right or smart or wise, we point to ourselves instead of pointing to Christ. And people will never see the wisdom of the cross that way. Instead, the way we make Jesus known, the most effective way to witness to others about this love of God that we have, is to humbly admit to them our own brokenness, our own failing, our own need for Christ in our lives. We preach Christ crucified, not our wisdom or our accomplishments. The way of the cross seems like foolishness to many. And by the standards of the world, it is. And yet when we recognize our sin, when we recognize our failings, our foolishness and the weakness of our own life, then God's foolishness in the cross becomes for us the greatest wisdom, the greatest strength. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God, the wisdom of God given for you. May you always live in His foolish grace, and may you always trust in His wisdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.